take in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The National Basketball Association held its 67th annual All-Star Game Sunday night when the league's best players were showcased in a new format in Los Angeles, California. In previous years, it's been the Eastern Conference All-Stars versus the Western Conference All-Stars. This time around, it was Team LeBron, captained by LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers, against Team Stephon, captained by Stephon Curry of the defending champion Golden State Warriors. LeBron and Stephon selected their teams after all-star voting by fans, media, and NBA players. NBA officials were hoping to make the all-star game more competitive after some lackluster contests in recent years. And I think they got a competitive game in Los Angeles. There were 11 lead changes, 5 ties, and it looked like some of the players were actually playing defense. When all was said and done, Team LeBron edged Team Stephon 148 to 145. LeBron James won his third career All-Star Game Most Valuable Player Award after scoring 29 points, grabbing 10 rebounds, and passing for 8 assists. At the post-game news conference in Los Angeles, LeBron gave a thumbs up to the new All-Star format.
I think the format was great. I think the fans did a great job of reacting to it in a very positive way. And, you know, for me to be the captain of the team, Steph being the captain of his team and us doing that, you know, that draft, it was something that hadn't been done before. And the great thing about Ishner, he's absolutely okay with trying something new, you know, to change the format. And it definitely worked out for everybody. It worked out not only for the players, not only for the league, but for our fans, for everybody. It was a great weekend, and we capped it off the right way.
Under the old All-Star format, LeBron James would have played against Kevin Durant of the Golden State Warriors. But Durant, who scored 19 points, was LeBron's teammate Sunday night. Talk to us, Kevin.
I think the camaraderie was good. I mean, the game of basketball kind of dictates that. Our coaches did a good job of, you know, sending a message yesterday in practice on how we wanted to play. We wanted to kind of change the narrative of All-Star game being a joke. And today we wanted to make it a real basketball game.
Meanwhile, Team Stephon tried to tie the game when it had possession with 10 seconds left, as we hear now from Stephon Curry.
We ran a play to try to get an open three in the corner and then maybe a three at the top of the key. Team LeBron had length and quickness all over the court. So once I got the ball from Joel and turned and looked, you know, trying to get a clear shot at the rim, I see LeBron and KD kind of trying to double team me. And at that point, you're just trying to make a play and nothing really surfaced. And DeMar tried to get one off in the corner before the time ran out. But it's obviously just great defense by them. And they just made one more play than we did to get the win.
Before the All-Star game, there were angry words in the media between LeBron James and Fox News host Laura Ingraham, who criticized LeBron for speaking out on social issues. Ingraham said LeBron and fellow NBA star Kevin Durant needed to, in her words, shut up and dribble. LeBron responded quickly saying, and I quote, "We will definitely not shut up and dribble. I mean too much to society. I mean too much to the youth. I mean too much to so many kids who feel like they don't have a way out and they need someone to help lead them out of the situation they're in." For social media reaction to the LeBron James-Laura Ingraham dispute, we turn once again to my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Well, Twitter followers had a lot to say about the social media firestorm between LeBron James and Laura Ingraham. And for the most part, the comments weren't too favorable towards LeBron, and read along the lines of this tweet. You can always tell the end of a pro athlete's relevant career. They begin to keep attention on themselves by commenting on stuff they know little about, a la Kaepernick. After 7 straight NBA finals, I predict LeBron will not make it 8 straight NBA finals. And this tweet, because he's rich, able to dribble and shoot a ball, he thinks we should listen to him. Just play your sport, LeBron James. We would rather not hear your political opinion. When you say demeaning things to the President of the United States, you are essentially saying that to the people who voted for him. Author and activist Michael Eric Dyson had this to say, King James is an athlete who has leveraged his celebrity in the service of others. His commitment to his community is the number one reason his community should now commit itself to standing next to him in the face of ignorance. Keep using your voice. There were also plenty of pregame tweets about the slam dunk contest when this question was asked, who had your favorite dunk of the night? One follower had a definite answer, posting a picture of Larry Nance Jr. and writing, without a doubt, the best dunk of the night for me, because of the story and meaning behind it. It was more than just a dunk. Plus, he performed just like his dad, priceless. Other tweeters weren't so sure. One wrote, dunks weren't good, but the process was better. Aaron Gordon's under both legs dunk is the best dunk of all time and didn't win him a dunk contest final? I can't explain that to me. Another follower was lukewarm about the winning dunk, writing, Donovan Mitchell won by butchering a dunk we've seen before. And finally, this answer on who was his favorite, no one. Worst dunk contest ever. Let's move on to tennis. During Friday's show, Sonny talked about Swiss tennis star Roger Federer trying to reclaim the world number one tennis ranking. Well, Roger's at the top again in the ATP rankings released Monday. On Sunday, he won the Rotterdam Open title in the Netherlands, and the reactions can be summed up with this tweet. Phenomenal record of Roger Federer in 2018. 16 matches, 16 wins, 3 titles, greatest of all time. Roger himself took to Twitter and humbly thanked all the people in attendance, saying, thank you, Rotterdam. You broke the record for attendance. 120,000 people. It was an amazing atmosphere. There was also plenty of Twitter reaction to 36-year-old Roger Federer becoming the oldest world number one tennis player. But the best tweet also comes from Roger. He wrote, apparently, I'm the oldest tennis player with a number one ranking. Somebody might have mentioned that to me already, but I had a hard time hearing. On his Facebook page, Roger posted a picture of himself holding a big number one with the caption, oldest number one in ATP history. And on Twitter, there's a shot of Federer holding his tennis racket, smiling the widest smile and wearing a shirt that says, Betterer. What a guy. On the Olympic front, Sonny and I are keeping an eye on the Nigerian women's bobsled team, or as this Twitter follower says, let's be honest, the whole world is cheering for the Nigerian bobsled team. They finished their first heats on Sunday in 20th place, and they have 2 more heats to go, so stay tuned. But I want to end this social media segment with a big congratulations to Sabrina Wanjiku-Samader. Over the weekend, the 19-year-old made her debut as the only athlete to represent her country of Kenya in these Olympic Games, and the first woman and first alpine skier to ever represent her country in the Olympics. She finished in 38th place in the women's supergiant slalom event. That's up from her previous rank of 41. After her race, Sabrina logged onto Facebook to express her gratitude for the awesome opportunity to be part of the 2018 Olympic Games. She wrote, in part, today, I finished my Super G race with the 38th position, and I enjoyed it so much. The last days, I had a lot of ups and downs, and I'm so glad to take this opportunity to get so many experiences throughout my career. After my crash in the giant slalom, I was really disappointed, But at the same time, I got stronger and more focused. These inspiring things are so cool to learn because I will not learn anywhere else. Thank you to all who believed in me and for all your motivational messages throughout my first Olympic journey. That post was flooded with comments, much like this one. Congratulations, Sabrina. Sometimes we might not understand how our courage and determination inspires others, and that to me is a greater win. I deal with young people, and this has been a great inspiration to them. We might not be where we want, but we have to celebrate our progress, so it's a great achievement so far. Thanks for making our nation proud. We believe in you. You will get there. Once again, congratulations for this achievement, Asante Sana. Well, Sunny, I'll have lots more social media magic in the coming days. Back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, Samson Omale will have more details on Nigeria's first ever Winter Olympics team. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Hey, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
Thanks, Larry, and keep crossing those musical borders. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sunny. We begin with the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea, where members of Nigeria's trailblazing bobsled and skeleton teams, the first ever African country to compete in the event at Olympic Games, were in action on Sunday. Nigeria's bobsled team of Sheun Adigun and Akwoma Omoga dropped one spot from 19th to 20th in Sunday's official heats 3 and 4. Both Adigun and Omoga finished with a time of 52.96 seconds and 53.60 seconds in heats 3 and 4 respectively. The pair of Adigun and Omoga will take part in heat 5 and 6 official training on Monday. Fans in Nigeria are hoping the girls could pull off some surprise in their event.
These girls are determined. It's not about participation now. It's about going there and putting their best, because I told her when she started it, I said, Sheun, the way I'm looking at this thing, a lot of things that people did not see, how they got to where they got to. They have trained, they have done so much that you won't believe.
These four girls represent who we are. Diligence, discipline, determination, patriotism, and the can-do spirit of the Nigerian. Nobody will bring us down. I will not bring ourselves down.
South Africa's under-17 women's national team has qualified for their second ever FIFA Under-17 Women's World Cup. Botswana beat Morocco 1-0 in their return leg in Morocco to qualify 6-1 on aggregate after recording a 5-1 win at home a couple of weeks ago. It is the first time since 2010 that South Africa has qualified for the biannual global championship. Simfiwe Duldulu is Botswana's coach.
That one goal was for us to keep dreaming And that last stop to Uruguay is where we are going. And South Africa, thank you.
Elsewhere, for the first time since 2008, Nigeria under 17 women's team, the Flamingos, won't be participating in the Women's Cadet World Cup. The Flamingos played to a 1-1 draw with Cameroon in a Women's World Cup qualifying second leg match on Sunday, falling on away goals rule after a 3-3 aggregate result to miss out on Uruguay 2018. Staying with football news, German club Hannover 96 has been handed a fine of €20,000 for unsportsmanlike behavior of its supporters towards Nigeria Super Eagles internationals Leon Balogun and Anthony Uja. Leon Balogun, who is a defender by trade, took to social media to report the racist incident involving him and striker Anthony Uja after their club Mainz 05's 3-2 defeat to Hannover 96 in January 2018. German Football Association has since confirmed that a group of 7 to 12 individuals racially abused the Nigerian players during the warm-up session. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More Winter Olympics news. A Russian athlete reportedly has failed a drug test in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Russian curlers say a coach on their team told them that mixed doubles bronze medalist Alexander Krushelnitsky tested positive for meldonium, a substance banned in 2016. The International Olympic Committee said on Monday that a second sample from the athlete was taken and the results would be available in 24 hours. If confirmed positive by the second test, the incident could keep Russia's team from being reinstated at the Olympics. Mark Adams is a spokesman for IOC President Thomas Bach.
On the one hand, it is extremely disappointing when prohibited substances may have been used. But on the other hand, it shows the effectiveness of the anti-doping system at the Games, which protects the rights of all the clean athletes. If this case is confirmed, it will be considered by the OAR Implementation Group, chaired by IOC Executive Board member Nicole Havertz, which will report to the IOC EB at the end of the Olympic Games.
Mark Adams also commented on the idea of a clean Olympic Games.
We will never, as everyone accepts and agrees, we will never reach a point where we have no doped athletes. It's like saying we're going to do away with burglary or murder, or it just doesn't happen. Unfortunately, where there is competition in sport, you will have people cheating. But I think we can be pretty confident that we have very, very thorough testing process in place, and we have the experts with the expertise who are doing that.
That's Mark Adams, a spokesman for International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach, and he was speaking at the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. I mentioned how the Russian athlete allegedly tested positive for meldonium. Russian tennis star Maria Sharapova was suspended for 15 months after testing positive for meldonium at the 2016 Australian Open. For 10 years, Sharapova used meldonium, a drug designed for people with heart problems. And although the idea of a curler using performance-enhancing drugs may seem strange, the winter sport does demand a high level of physical fitness at the Olympic level. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to athletics, American sprinter Christian Coleman broke the world indoor record in the 60 meters over the weekend, clocking 6.34 seconds in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Coleman's world record run came at the U.S. Indoor Championships in Albuquerque. Last month, Coleman competed at the Clemson Invitational in South Carolina, and he clocked a world indoor record time of 6.37 seconds in the 60-meter dash, but the mark was not recognized by the International Association of Athletics Federations, or IAAF, because electronic blocks were not used at the meet. The blocks, of course, are where the sprinters crouch down and get their start at the beginning of the sprints. Christian Coleman won a silver medal in the 100 meters for the USA at last year's World Championships in London, and he looks to be in great shape ahead of the 2018 World Indoor Championships in Birmingham, England, which will take place March 1st through March 4th. And check out my Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. You'll see that world record run by Christian Coleman. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, facebook.com/VOA Sunny for that world record run by Christian Coleman. And here's a hint. The video takes just over 6 seconds to watch. Christian Coleman. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten mentioned Roger Federer earlier in the show, reclaiming the world number one ranking in tennis at the age of 36 and winning the Rotterdam Open. And while that was the biggest tennis story of the weekend, there were a few others that made headlines. Petra Kvitova continued her remarkable comeback by beating Garbiñe Muguruza of Spain in the Qatar Open final in Doha. This was Kvitova's 13th consecutive win and second consecutive title. The 27-year-old Czech player is a two-time Wimbledon champion. She needed three sets to beat Muguruza. Final score, 3-6, 6-3, and 6-4. This was Kvitova's sixth win over a top 10 player in 2018. It was also Kvitova's 22nd career title, and it came 2 weeks after she won another title in St. Petersburg, Russia. Our VOA tennis fans will remember Kvitova was the victim of a knife attack at her home in December 2016. That led to a lengthy layoff, and there were question marks about whether Kvitova would even play tennis again. But if you check the rankings on Monday, she's back in the top 10, Petra Kvitova. Kevin Anderson from South Africa, also making tennis headlines. The top-seeded Anderson won the first New York Open, beating number 2 seed Sam Querrey. The final score, 4-6, 6-3, and 7-6. This was Anderson's fourth career ATP Tour title. Again, our VOA tennis fans might remember Anderson was the runner-up at last year's U.S. Open in New York, losing the final to Rafael Nadal. Anderson moves to a career-high 9th in the ATP rankings, continuing a strong rise that began at last year's U.S. Open when he reached his first Grand Slam final. This was also Anderson's first title since 2015, when he made his only other appearance in the top 10. Anderson was ranked 10th for 1 week in October. Anderson won four consecutive three-match tournaments in a New York tournament last year after moving from Memphis. Still more tennis news. Top-seeded Dominic Thiem of Austria beat Slovenia's Alijaz Bedene 6-2 and 6-4 to win the Argentine Open in Buenos Aires for the second time in 3 seasons. Thiem is 24 years old, and he's now number 6 in the world. He didn't lose a set at the clay court event. This was Thiem's 9th career title and first since an event in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in February 2017. And that wraps up the February 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
On the third Monday of February, Americans celebrate President's Day, when Americans honor all their national leaders, past and present. The day was originally meant to honor the first president and arguably the country's most influential founder, George Washington, who was born on February 22, 1732. The date became an annual, unofficial day of remembrance in the year 1800, the year after President Washington died. It finally became a federal holiday in 1885. Since then, about half the states have modified the observance to include the celebration of another president. On this day, about half the U.S. states also commemorate the 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. It is a fitting choice. Born on February 12, 1809, Lincoln, like Washington, was enormously influential in the foundation and development of the United States. Washington led the rebel army that won the country's independence from the British crown, put the nation on a sound financial footing, and led the young United States of America through the initial labor pains that quickly gave birth to a stable, democratic, and lawful government. By leaving office voluntarily after 2 4-year terms, and by ensuring the peaceful transfer of power to the leader elected to succeed him, George Washington set an important precedent for all future presidents. Lincoln, on the other hand, was the glue that held together a country torn by a vicious civil war, and set the stage for a peacetime shift in power distribution between federal and state government entities. Ultimately, his actions turned a loose federation of states united under a weak central government into a true union headed by a strong federal government. This change began with slavery laws. Prior to the Civil War, some states allowed slavery by law. Others outlawed slavery. On January 1, 1863, President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, abolishing slavery in the rebellious states. This led to the passage of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which abolished slavery nationwide. We honor Presidents Washington and Lincoln because they embodied the values and character that ennobles public service. On President's Day, we honor presidents past and present as they continue to uphold their oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, South Africa has a new president, Cyril Ramaphosa. He ascended to the top position after the ruling African National Congress ordered the embattled, scandal-plagued Jacob Zuma to step down as president. We will discuss the implications of the ANC's power shift on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.